After admitting the truth that you have an addiction, admitting is saying you are powerless over your addiction and that your life has become completely unmanageable. We face the next step with humility, a humility that's necessary to walk into step two. Step one, admitting. And find out that we are powerless over our addiction. But in step two, we find that there is power, that we can stay clean and sober. We can also find together this power can help to manage our own lives better than we were able while in self-will run riot. There is a power that can heal our brokenness, pain, and demoralization. With faith in our newfound higher power, sometimes we refer to as God, we can find comfort for our own confusion and slowly be restored to sanity. Step two teaches us that we are insane, that we are insane while in our addiction, and that we'll begin to realize we were. Also, we'll begin to understand that we were on the wheel of suffering and couldn't get off, even though we kept thinking we could figure out how. We keep repeating the same mistakes and expecting different results over and over. Realizing that when we've got away with it for a while, it set the insanity in deeper that we can eventually figure out how to use our drug of choice successfully. We start to understand this insanity part by going to meetings and reading the Bible. For those who have a problem with God or higher power, the 12-step program model is anyone may join regardless of certain religion or lack of religion. For those who grew up in a religious system where God was mad at everyone, this program teaches us to seek out a higher power that is loving, caring, and able to restore us to sanity. We have just come to believe that a power greater than ourselves can restore us to sanity. It helps when we see a group of recovering addicts who are proof that it works in 12-step meetings. We see people who are once lost and unable to stop using drugs, who are now restored to sanity and have a hope and a new life. The new found hope we get from working step two replaces the incomprehensible demoralization we face in an active addiction. While we were out there running and gunning with our drug of choice, we tried to find our own path out of the vicious cycle of bondage and only found jail, insanity, and death all around us. Some of us tried medication, psychiatry, and moving across the country, but none of these worked for long at all. When I saw other members in meetings, addicts just like myself were staying free from their drugs of choice, that hope began to light a fire within. I heard stories from people who had been to jail multiple times, who were shooting heroin or meth, who were now sober for years and prospering with their families back together. At these meetings, I saw it working for so many people. I saw so many people getting sober. I saw them believe and watch their lives change. Some were mothers getting their kids back, or fathers getting their jobs back. I saw with faith working, through a little work, anything's possible. The step two process of the 12-step program. Once we have accepted the insanity of our addiction, we're beginning to face our own lies that we could stop on our own, and that it was always someone else's fault, not our own. Part of getting a running start and understanding of step two is to understand it in a way that makes sense for you individually. For me, it's like this. If I seek God and His will more than I seek selfish things, then I stay on my own way and my life is better. I find that I can do this by staying grateful. All you have to do is ask yourself right now, aloud, do I believe or am I willing to believe that there is a power greater than myself? Even if you aren't a believer in God or a higher power yet, that's okay. All you have to do is be willing to admit there is or could be a creator. It only takes this tiny bit of willingness to move forward. So are you ready to take this step forward in your sobriety and new life? Good afternoon on this lovely Wednesday evening. As we're closing up with the month of May, remember May is Mental Health Awareness Month. My last activity for my fellow peers, if you had an addiction, what would you name that addiction? And what would you have advice for that addiction? I would use envy today. Envy. And I'd call envy Lane. And the advice I'd give Lane, don't envy what others have. Because in the end, you can't be that person that you envy. You can only be the person you were meant to be. So I'm going to give a shout out to everyone who's trying right now, trying to do the right thing, trying to stay open, trying to keep going, trying to hold on, trying to let go, trying to find their flow, trying to stay afloat, trying to meet each new day, trying to find their balance, trying to love themselves, trying new things in new ways. I see you. I'm there too. We're in this together. So as you're enjoying this very beautiful Wednesday, and the temperature is hot here in North Carolina, take some time out for yourself. Don't envy what others have. Be blessed with what you have. Good afternoon, everyone. Today is June 18th, 2019. I'm gonna start this afternoon's subject on Wellness Recovery Action Plan, which is a prevention wellness process that anyone can use to get well, stay well, and make their life more the way they want it to be through a series of tools and action plan called RAP. Like I said again, this is for anyone who wants to make positive changes in the way they feel and the way they react to life. It has been said people who use RAP says helps them feel better more often, improves the overall quality of their lives. Over time, they have found that it can easily be adapted to deal with any situation in their lives, anything from deep sadness to arthritis, from substance use to hearing voices, from panic attacks to diabetes to grieving the death of a loved one. In RAP, we believe that there are no limits to recovery and wellness. RAP is designed to decrease and prevent unwanted or troubling feelings and behaviors, increase the personal choices we make about how we live our lives, improve quality of life, and help us achieve our life goals and dreams. What are wellness and recovery? People define wellness as having a purpose in life, being actively involved in satisfying work and play, being part of a joyful relationship, having a healthy body and living environment, and experiencing happiness. Wellness doesn't necessarily imply the absence of physical illness or impairment or the lack of a behavioral health diagnosis. Anyone can experience wellness within their current life circumstances. It has been said that recovery is a process of change that helps us improve our health and wellness, live a self-directed life, and work to meet our full potential in all areas of lives. RAP can be used to deal with and recover from any illness, condition, or set circumstances that interferes with your quality of life. It can also be used to keep you well on an ongoing basis and to cope with chronic or acute illness or ineffective, troublesome behaviors. The RAP program guides you through the process of creating a game plan for your life so you can achieve your goals and the way you live. You can use RAP to make sure you do what you need to do each day to meet your goals. Deal with feelings and situations that are especially difficult. Notice little signs of problems and choose actions to take before the problems become bigger. Act when there are signs that you're heading down a road you don't want to go down. Make sure you have help when you need it and support when you want it. It also can help you make sure that you have some say in the way things go, even when your choices may be limited. And it also can help you bounce back from a setback or crisis. I am taking excerpts from the Wellness Recovery Action Plan, and this is the updated version from the Copeland Center. Her name is Mary Ellen Copeland, and she is the author of the original RAP edition. And again, you do not have to struggle alone. This journey is with me and you. Good morning, everyone. It's 10:18, and it's the first of the month, June 1st, 2019. Also, being the first of the month, it is Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder Awareness Month. For millions of people around the world, the most traumatic events of their life have never ended. Post-traumatic stress disorder is a lingering reminder that turns every day into a potential minefield, with flashbacks and triggers potentially hidden around every corner. Post-traumatic stress disorder Awareness Month is dedicated to raising awareness about this lifelong struggle and the people it affects, and how each of us can help make their life just a little easier. Let me take a little time to tell you about the history of Post-traumatic stress disorder month. It's nothing new and has been recognized by psychology practitioners since at least 1952, where it appeared in the DSM-1 as gross stress reaction, defined as normal personality using established patterns of reaction to deal with overwhelming fear. Even in those early days, it was recognized that was a condition that existed within those who had experienced wartime as well as domestic traumas. It was that with the establishment of the DSM-3 that it got its current name, in part due to the experience of the soldiers during the Vietnam War. The research involved in this further definition shed some light on the experience and diagnosis regarding problems faced in soldiers and other patients who experienced trauma in former years, including railroad spine, battle fatigue, traumatic war neurosis, and etc. Sadly, there is no way to cure post-traumatic stress disorder with present techniques, though there is a growing body of techniques to help manage these conditions, including psychotherapy, exercise therapy, service animals, and more. Post-traumatic stress disorder Awareness Month works to make the public more aware of this disorder, to promote research to find further treatments, understand its causes, and determine what sort of preventive measures can be taken to keep it from developing in those who have experienced trauma. How to celebrate Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder Awareness Month? The best way is to take time to understand the experiences and day-to-day realities of those around you who may be suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. Another important step is to never use the term post-traumatic stress disorder lightly. Like most psychological disorders, there are people who will claim to experience it. A common example is OCD. This undermines the experience of those who actually have those issues and degenerates the seriousness of this condition, which can lead to misunderstandings about its cause and effects. Volunteering with local groups to aid veterans of wartime situations will also make a huge difference to those who deal with it every day, as support is always lacking. I like to end this. I know everyone's probably had a long Memorial week. Some people are probably still vacationing. And before the Memorial Day, I gave you an activity. I should have said week one, not day one. So this is week two. On week two, I want you to put this in your mind. What could people learn from you? This is learning from you now as you're walking through your recovery journey, whether you're suffering from a mental health issue or a substance abuse issue. What could people learn from you today? I'm going to leave you with this thought. Jot down some notes. I hope that you listen in some of my early episodes about making your own journal. And the journal I got really creative with my journal. I went to the Hobby Lobby and I picked out one that reflected how I felt right then. And you can take a little time. You don't have to go as elaborate and buy a lot of expensive things. Most people do, you know, like, but you can find some really, really good deals at Hobby Lobby, Walmart. So that's another challenge for you today. If you haven't already, I encourage you to get you a journal, a really nice journal. Something that reflects you. Each page that you write in it, each note, and it doesn't have to be like traditional writing, line by line by line. You can use colors, you can use stickers, you can use, they have buttons. I saw they have some like little miniature keys. So whichever way that you want to fix your journal, that way you can look back and reflect on it. Like today, what people can learn from me today is I love to read. I love to stay current on current events. I love to read. I like to escape. People, what someone can learn from me with that is I could take you to a library and show you where every book is in the library. I can access computers, resources. So that's what people could learn from me today. Tomorrow, I can't tell you what they're going to learn from me tomorrow, but make sure you go out and get that scrapbook and write some things about what people can learn from you. Good morning, everyone. It is 2:34 on this hot, wet night. I am at work, but still, as always, remember July is Minority Mental Health Awareness Month, and how you can help someone with mental health illnesses is educating yourself and supporting. How you support, there's a number of ways that you can support. Good afternoon. It's 1:06 p.m. on Monday, July 15th, 2019. My topic for discussion today is, do you know the signs of depression and how to reach out for help for yourself or a loved one? I'm taking excerpts from the Screening for Mental Health, a service of the Riverside community, and also as a website that you can get on to gain more insight, helpyourselfhelpothers.org. Again, that's helpyourselfhelpothers.org. Some signs to look for: mental and emotional symptoms could be persistent sadness or anxious mood, hopelessness or pessimism, loss of interest in activities or hobbies previously enjoyed. There might be feelings of guilt or worthlessness. You or your loved one could be restless or irritable a lot of times, difficulty concentrating or making decisions, thoughts of death or suicide. Some physical change symptoms to look for is change in appetite, weight loss or gain, unexplained aches and pains, digestive disorders, headaches, needing too much sleep or having insomnia, low energy or being fatigued. If you think a friend or loved one might have depression, you can help by reminding them that they are not alone, asking how you can support them, listen to their concerns and needs, helping them find reliable information, encouraging them to get help, asking if they are having thoughts of self-harm or suicide, not judging or criticizing them, being patient, and taking care of your own mental health. On July 29, 2019, Hobbies can strengthen and support many dimensions of wellness. Hobbies like putting together puzzles or painting can improve mood and lower stress while supporting intellectual wellness. Walking, hiking, or doing outdoor water sports like kayaking can support physical health while also increasing time spent outside supporting environmental wellness. These activities can support general well-being, improve mood, and decrease stress levels. There are many hobbies that you can get involved in. Take the time to see what feels best for you, and many hobbies can contribute to expanding social wellness when we join, participate, or engage with them, with others. Social wellness is about developing a sense of connection, belonging, and a well-developed support system. There are a lot of different ways to look at addiction, including the notion that a person using drugs or alcohol simply has a self-esteem or willpower problem that needs to be corrected. But when we look at a drug and alcohol use and addiction from a psychological perspective, you'll see a very different picture. Addiction results in very serious damage to the brain of an individual, which then causes common symptoms that can be observed. You must understand that addiction is a disease, because it's primarily, addiction is not a secondary symptom of another disease process. Or if it's chronic, it means addiction is not curable. It's a lifelong disease and a person can relapse. May it be progressive, with drugs or alcohol use, physical or emotional symptoms are describable and worse in intensity if not treated. And if it's fatal, the person will die from the disease if left untreated. What's the type, kind of disease and addiction? The most widely accepted and accurate model is that addiction is a disease of the brain. Using drugs and alcohol will affect every system and organ within the body. The primary organ affecting is the brain. Drugs and alcohol affect the dopamine levels in the limbic system, brain's primary home to your emotions and memories. Substance abuse use increases dopamine levels to such a degree that the dopamine channels are flooded in connection with the use of the substance. An overwhelming pleasurable feeling of use gets permanently locked into the memory of an addict or alcoholic. People with addictions are particularly adept at hiding their behavior. However, there are signs and symptoms that will clearly manifest themselves over time. Three ways to fight the stigma of mental illness. People struggle with mental illness from the mildest and most routine to the intractable, utterly devastating, are also burdened by the stereotypes and prejudices of stigmatization. The stigma of mental illness interferes with getting needed care and causes social isolation and alienation. This is not how things should be. Instead, people with emotional, cognitive, and behavioral problems, regardless whether the causes are external traumas or circumstances, internal events, or some combination, should be given the same respect and access treatment as someone dealing with a mild sprain, flu, or life-threatening cancer. Healthcare should be healthcare, but it's not, and stigmatization is largely to blame.
Today is August 19, 2020. The time is 3:57 p.m. We're at the top of the hour. Hi, my name is Heather Ross. I'm North Carolina Certified Peer Support Specialist, and I'm also a veteran service member supporting my peers of the community for whatever reason may be, whether it be mental health instability issues or substance abuse instability issues. I want to share something with you today that I've read, and it's called Vaguely Indirect. Therapy, more specifically mental and psychological therapy, is a twisted, winding road. Unlike physical therapy, which begins with some level of crash, a trip to the mechanic, hopefully it's not total, and then set direction towards getting back on the road, mental therapy is a harrowing, consistently narrowing path which is often traveled alone, sometimes with an unknown point of departure with an unpredictable destination and quite a few dead ends. The important thing to remember is, wherever you go, there you are. because once you get there, there's usually no turning back, and you can't remember where you came from anyway. Think it through, talk it out loud to yourself. Sometimes hearing something has a greater impact than just thinking about it. Try not to do this out in public, though, because people see you out talking loud, they think you're talking to yourself, and we're already trying to stop that stigmatism of the word C-R-A-Z-Y. Try not to do this in public. Again, you already have enough problems, and there's no point in everyone else is thinking that you're a Looney Tune. Again, that's a stigma word that we're trying to get rid of in the mental health world, because you're not Looney. If you don't want to listen to yourself, find someone who will. But don't pick nobody random, because they don't always have your best interest at heart. They may want to listen, but they don't care about the problems that you're going through. So I suggest starting with friends and family, or a friend who's like family, or a family member that is a friend. Sorry, some family members just don't like you that much. If you have no friends, seek professional help. A therapist does not always have to mean your last resort. You can always seek out help with a religious leader of the community, like a pastor or a deacon. Or we have support groups within your community that you can reach out. And there's lots of people that have lived similar experiences to yourself, and you can get hope and gain support from them so you can begin your journey of wellness. Personal, public, and professional therapy aside, there's another unexplored option. You can possibly pick up a newspaper like I just did today in hopes that a freelance writer has contributed something that covers your issue. And I picked up a paper today, and what I'm reading, I hope that it touches someone. And if it does, please be kind enough to email me at Ross, R-O-S-S, Heather, the number 7, at Gmail, and just give me 2 thumbs up if this covers an issue that you are battling today. Have you ever done something you immediately regretted? Let's take a step further. Have you ever regretted something before and while doing it, knowing in advance, so be mindful of hell to pay, and yet you do it anyway? Because at the time, you were convinced to yourself that the positive aspects and outcome outweigh the potential grief, guilt, and anguish, or so you thought so. And the funny thing is, all those cheering voices go away. And then there comes a voice of regret and guilt. Some things can be reprimanded or rectified with just a sincere apology or gesture of goodwill. Others can be undone by undoing what you've done. And then there are those stupid little things which you can't get rid of. And at the time, it seemed like a good idea, but now it's haunting you. Making matters worse, you may realize early on after the fact that you've been in error. You feel the brunt of your actions and try to end reconciliation, fully aware that it's a false attempt. This will only make things worse. So it's broken beyond pair, and you're the one that broke it. Talking about it, contemplating it, confessing may ease your mind, but doesn't make it go away. No matter what you think, say, or do, you cannot fix this, because it's no longer broken. It's over and done with. What's done cannot be undone, and now that's left to be done is to live with it. Remember it and never do it again. Remembering is easy, and if you remember, then doing it again should be too. But living with it, that's the hard part. Don't deny it. Don't pretend it never happened. You gotta accept it, embrace it. It's your guilt, so wallow in it. Come to the understanding that you did this and cannot undo it. Let it eat at you, because it's humbling and good for the soul, but not let it consume you. Never let anything consume you unless it's wild animals, and I urge you, stay out of the woods. Don't mess with wild animals. Time heals all wounds, even mental ones, but you will have a nasty scar. And like scars, don't pick at it, or it gets infected. Like your problems, don't pick at it, because they get infected. Tend to it, touch it now and again. Remember it's there, and don't reopen it. I urge all of you, if someone wants to reach out to me that needs support, you can call me. You can text me, and honestly, again, my phone number is 336-262-3260. Email rossheather7@gmail.com. Thank you, and y'all have a blessed day.